May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1064. How vain are all things here below, how false and yet how fair. Each pleasure has its poison too, and every sweet a snare. Hymn 1064.
Let us read the Word of God in the Psalms, the Psalm number 106. Psalm number 106. as we read, friends, may we be thinking of what we have done, especially our own heart sins, not just to read the solemn things here, thinking of the people that have gone before, but what we are and what we have done. Psalm 106. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their requests, but sent leanness into their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan, and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped a molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God their Saviour, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous things in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach, to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. They joined themselves also unto Baal Peor, and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague broke in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed, and that was counted to him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance, and he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel, and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and he remembered for them his covenant, and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he grant us prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, thou great God Jehovah, and we humbly seeking to approach thee, our God. Do grant us prayer, indite it in us, Lord, for thou knowest how it's been pleaded here. One thinks many times, prayer indicted by the Lord will surely hear. May we have real prayer, Lord, as we come before thee in our need. Thou knowest our great need. For how we feel, Lord, as we come into thy house so poor and insufficient. And we say, as in the word, who is sufficient for these things? Lord, thou knowest how we do feel, so much to need to beg of thee, our God, for help in time of need. Lord, another mountain in time of need. Lord, do come this day. Thou knowest one trust we can say and acknowledge over the many years now that we felt love to the dear people here. And we come, Lord, feeling so poor, but Lord, thy gospel is wonderful. Help a pure instrument to preach the gospel to the dear friends here again, to preach a precious Christ, as our dear beloved brother has prayed for. Oh, that we may preach Christ crucified, who knoweth our great need of thee and all what thou hast done, Lord. What thou hast given, dear God, our holy heavenly Father, given thy Son for. And he has come, and he has suffered, bled and died, he has redeemed the church. Oh, do come, Lord, like the psalmist we begin, remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. Lord, not that one would pray for this just for oneself, but, Lord, that thou wilt give it into the hearts of each one here to be feeling thee in their need, praying, Lord, remember me. We think of it in the theme of the hymn, remember me, a sinner, weak and vile, full of impiety and fraught with sin and guile. I cannot hope but in thy blood. Remember me, O Lord, for good. Remember us each, Lord, come to us each. May none be in neglectfulness. We have to confess we much are. Lord, do stir us up. Do exercise us by thy Spirit, each one of us, if it could please thee. We might properly acknowledge each one who is alive spiritually. And Lord, any that are dead, quicken them, Lord, if it be thy will. Quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. Thou knowest the state and condition of each one of us. We beg of thee, Lord, thou wilt come and suit thy blessing to each one, each case here. May there truly be cases. Oh, we may each have a case. And oh, what sweet words they are, Jesus, the glorious head of grace, knows every saint's peculiar case, but Lord, the people, they may not feel to be saints. We have to know and feel what sinners we are. But Lord, we know it is by thy work in thy people that maketh them saints. Oh, Lord, do come and work today. Oh, thou hast said, I will work and who shall let it? Come thus and suit thy blessing to each soul here. Thou knowest what is needed, as we mention those that may be still dead in sin. Thou knowest, Lord, we are not the judge. But Lord, do, if it could please thee, quicken dead sinners into life. We watch for this, we pray for this, Lord. Thou knowest how we were, some of us, we can acknowledge it. Went on all those years dead in sin, without any desire, any need, any real feeling of need. In any way, spiritually, we were not spiritual characters when we were dead in sin. Oh, wonder of wonders, thou didst quicken us. Oh, help us, Lord, to humbly acknowledge it. May we be blessed, as in the theme that Moses had to speak to the children of Israel, thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God has led thee. Help thy people to remember. May we be much humbled in remembering, Lord, much melted in heart and thankfulness to thee, our God, for what thou hast done. But Lord, as we feel much to need to come with our solemn confessions of what we are, how short we've come, how greatly we have sinned. Oh, we have no stones to throw, nothing to make in criticism of those that have gone before. The record of what we've read, Lord, of thy people's rebellion, thy great love and mercy in the face of thy people's rebellion. Lord, we are given to be led to read it, Lord, but we are also given to feel we are no better. Yea, we feel our baseness, Lord. We feel our wretchedness. Oh, we've got that vileness within us, in our old man. Lord, we beg thee, look in mercy upon us here this day. May we be favoured, Lord, as we meet around thy word in this time on a sanctuary. You know, Lord, as we look back over the years and pondering things as regarding our gathering here, and Lord, thou knowest, it was in that first year we went out to preach, in those last few weeks, months, 2 months and weeks of the year 1987. And our late dear friend, the deacon here, asked us to come some Lord's Day mornings when the friends here had got only an evening minister. And Lord, then the next year we had more engagements. But Lord, thou knowest how we look back and we feel so much, Lord, our shortcoming. But the love and kindness of our friends here much humbles us. We pray we may be not in any way burdensome to them today, but we may have the favour of that wonderful golden oil flowing through a poor pipe, that it may do the dear friends good, and above all, that thou mayest be glorified in our gathering and by our gathering together unto thee this day. We think of the words relating to gathering together. May it truly be so here today. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And Lord, oh, may it be that sinners shall lose their load. If any have been given to think of what they are in their heart sins, like we mentioned before the reading, Lord, oh, may they be favoured, may we each be favoured to see all our sins put away, blotted out by the blood of Jesus. Give us that favour by faith to know and feel the blessedness of sin forgiven. We may know pardon and peace through the precious blood of the Lamb of God applied to us. May the Holy Spirit take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us. Lord, do so come. You know, with each one's case, as we've said and prayed, and Lord, thou knowest the afflictions any know. Thou knowest the sorrows of the way too, Lord. Oh, we still mourn with those that have lost loved ones. Oh, we pray for them. Who will continue to comfort. Oh, Lord. Oh, we look to thee who art the husband of the widows and the fatherless, friends of the fatherless and the faint. And Lord, thou knowest, especially our dear friend and brother here, widower here. And Lord, there are many others. And always we think of that took place yesterday in the West. And I especially remember our dear friend, dear Marcel's and family. Go on to comfort them, Lord, with the comfort of thy love. And always as we made mention to our friend regarding our late dear friend, thy servant, calling on us sometimes when he was on his way to come here to preach. Oh, what blessed memory we have. Oh, we pray, Lord, we may be much humbled for the friendships we've known. Oh, truly the memory of the just is blessed. But oh, how are we? Oh, Lord, do make us right and keep us right. And do lead us on, Lord. And oh, may we have grace given day by day sufficient. We may endure to the end. They that endure to the end shall be saved. We pray then, Lord, for each one here present and any that may be listening in. You know, with Lord, these means that we still use, and thou hast blessed the means. There are those who may not be able to gather. We think of our own dear people at home, and particularly our dear deacon and his wife have been under the plague, the virus affliction, Lord, and we know not for sure whether he will venture out this morning. We understand he is out of that state of infection now, but still feels very weak. Lord, be with them as they gather, those that do. They know with one of the families has been much affected. Our dear friend and sister, dear Rebecca, has been much afflicted with it and weakly. We expect they will not be out today, their family, her and her family, her husband and family. But Lord, our friend, our other dear sister, younger sister in the faith, will venture to broadcast so that they can hear. Be with thy servant, our dear beloved friend. Greatly favour and help him, Lord. Make him a blessing, bless him in his own soul. Bless his dear son who he said he would have with him. Lord, them knoweth we pray for them all. Oh, may they know thy favour, and where'er thy people meet, all thy people in the Church of God, thinking of those in the eastern lands that are toward the end or at the end of their Lord's day, and thinking of those in the western lands that are earlier in the day than we. And Lord, acknowledging, Lord, thou hast thy people throughout the world, we pray for each one and each gathering of thy people. May thy favour be felt, and may there be much honour and glory ascend unto thee, our God, from the sanctuaries of the earth, the hills of Zion. And Lord, oh, may we all be looking to thee, our Lord in heaven, our risen and exalted Lord. Oh, thou art all in all for thy people, and in thy holy office is now pleading for thy people, pleading what thou hast done. And so our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Help us to worship thee, Lord, our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May we have the blessedness of thy felt presence here, and may every assembly thy people feel the blessedness, the sacredness of thy presence. Come, Lord, thus, and do us good. We pray, Lord, for our country. Thou knowest the turmoil and many things of sadness we mourn over in our land. Lord, that is appeared that has been the resignation of our Prime Minister. Who knoweth we have felt there are some good things of his Prime Ministership, Lord. We thank thee for what he's been able to do. And Lord, too, like we're all sinners, he, oh, so much, had those flaws of lack of integrity. And Lord, oh, we mourn over all the things, these solemn, sad things that took place. And we, Lord, are part of the land. And we confess our sin, Lord. Oh, we plead a mercy on us. Could it please thee, Lord, to give us a Prime Minister that has real integrity? Lord, we are very worried and concerned as these things are leading on toward the voting and appointing of another Prime Minister. Lord, there was one of the ladies that we were hoping might be Prime Minister, but Lord, thou knowest how she's been excluded. Lord, thou knowest. Oh, we beg thee, have mercy on us. In wrath, remember mercy. Help us, Lord. We may solemnly confess our national sins and plead for mercy, Lord. Still have mercy on us in these solemn days. Lord, do save us from the terribleness of world war. You know, with how the things are so solemn in the East. Be with thy people there, Lord. We trust their will. Oh, help them, appear for them, Lord. Could it please thee to put down the Russian dictator? You know, if we would be careful here, we pray. For we know he has a soul, and there has exhorted us to pray for our enemies. Lord, have mercy. Could it please thee to have mercy on him? Change him, Lord. Oh, Lord, thou knowest. Oh, we beg of thee, hear us. In heaven thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, Lord, forgive. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Part of hymn number 153, the second part. I'll read the first two verses and we'll commence to sing at verse 5. And why, dear Saviour, tell me why thou thus wouldst suffer, bleed, and die? What mighty motive could thee move? The motive's plain, 'twas all for love of whom? Of sinners base, a hardened herd, a rebel race, that mocked and trampled on thy blood, and wantoned with the wounds of God. Hymn 153, the second part, commencing at verse 5.
Thank you.
as the Lord may help me, friends. I would direct you to the psalm that we read. Ask your attention to the 106th psalm and the verses 4, 5 and 6. Psalm 106, verses 4 to 6. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. And I fear we should read these further words in the verse 6, friends, as with the text. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Every one of us have, really. Do you know it? Do you feel it? Do I? And oh, friends, can we say what dear Joseph Hart penned, especially that last verse? Have we been brought to really need the Lord Jesus Christ and all what he has done? Has God so dealt with us to make us know what wretched sinners we are and what solemn desert we have of being punished for our sins forever in a never-ending place of torment and woe, that place of the damned, where the worm dieth not? How is our desert, friends, whether we know it or not? If you know it, if you solemnly know it, surely you will need the Saviour. If the Spirit is teaching you, wonderful thing is that God does, in great love and mercy, begin a work of grace in those he set his love upon. You may say, well, since the Lord has made me concerned about my never-dying soul, the question is with me. Does God love me? Am I one of those chosen objects of his love? And so surely that will bring out from such souls who have been taught of God a plea, a cry. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Is this our prayer, friends? Is this yours and my prayer? O Lord, remember me. Like we quoted in prayer, the theme of the hymn writer, a sinner weak and vile. Do you know and feel your vileness? You know, late as we've been getting older and coming to old age, seems with one even more and more solemn, our heart sins. We hope through God's merciful kindness we are kept outwardly, but we feel the plague within. Oh, what a deep, solemn feeling it is. Of guilt before God, where we are still in such solemn ways with our heart sins, have wicked thoughts, and those diabodings which seem to come up right from down below within the vileness of our wretched, wicked hearts. And we have so much to have such a solemn feeling of guilt over. We can't keep ourselves. We're so unable to keep ourselves. And we sin, and I have to confess to you that I've sinned in thought, word and deed. And oh, we do have to so much then be begging for mercy. And it's this, it's like as in the theme of what we've been singing in those deep sacred acknowledgements. Mercy through blood, I make my plea. Oh God, be merciful to me. So, does this bring out this prayer like the psalmist had? We know not for sure who the psalmist was. This is what is acknowledged as an orphan psalm, hasn't got an heading. But those that have studied the word much, much more than us that are pure and limited much in what we know in the study of the word of God, some think it is David's psalm, others have got other ideas, but the Lord knows. The blessedness of this psalm has been so used of God, applied to the God's people. Many, many souls have been led into exercise of concern and also to worship like we have in the text as the word runs on. Oh, friends, does it lead us to feel deeply, keenly, and to pray for the Lord to remember me. Remember me, O Lord. But friends, as we come to more closely consider this, oh, the psalmist truly knows the Lord. He knows who he must pray to. He knows there's a God in heaven, the Lord God Almighty. Remember me, O Lord. And of course, as we see in the beginning of the psalm, the psalmist acknowledges, praise ye the Lord, exhorts others, exhorts himself. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for his good. The people of God know he is good. They know, they are taught, when raised to a hope in the early days of experience and given to know by the teaching of the Spirit, there's hope for sinners, there's mercy for sinners, that God is a God of love and mercy. And here that the psalmist acknowledges, oh, give thanks unto the Lord for his good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now this psalmist must have known something of this, must have experienced something of it. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. And there is this, known by the people of God, the enabling, the exercise to be in and under the influence of grace. And of course the child of God has a new heart, a new nature. They are blessed who know the difference between the old nature and the new nature, and they pray that the Lord will, as I have prayed coming into the pulpit this morning, friends, I don't want to make a boast of it, but you know it is so important to me. I prayed the Lord would keep down my old nature, keep out of the pulpit my old man, and so that it may be the Spirit's influence upon the new heart, the new man of grace. And do you feel to need that? Do you know the difference between those ways of the old nature and the ways of God's grace in you? Is this proved by this, knowing the difference that you do have a new heart, you do have a new nature? I believe it's from that new heart and nature within the child of God that this prayer will ascend to God. The prayer for need, in need, remember me, O Lord. For, yes, it's carefully, rightly acknowledged here. Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Well, in that, Blessed are they that keep judgment. They will, under the influence of the new nature, new heart. But I think the highest acknowledgement of the further words in verse 3, and he that doeth righteousness at all times, that's God himself. That's God, that's God the Father, that's the Son of God. And the child of God will know this. God is holy, holy, holy. We are sinners. But oh, to have faith in God, faith to believe that what Christ has done, he's done for his people. And to know our need of all what he is, all what he's done, all what he's doing now. To really know our need is such a great mercy, such a wonderful favour under God's goodness to his people, that his people know their need and they know he who is the supplier of all the needs of his people. Thy God shall supply all thy needs according to his riches in glory. It doesn't end there. By Christ Jesus. Oh, may we know it today, friends. And so, Lord, remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. If you really feel, and if I do, if we each feel a malady, friends, of our sin and guilt, and those things of the deep feeling of guilt within us, I believe it will be actually the child of God feels their woe, they feel their affliction of sin within their new heart and nature. See, there's nothing good in the old man. The old man struggles hard to gain the victory over grace. That's the old man. You don't want the things of God. You don't want religion. You don't want to be in God's house today, not accord into that is in your old nature. But is there something, unless it is only, and let me be very careful, you see, the legal Pharisees, that must have been in their natural person, because they weren't spiritual. Those that were altogether Pharisees, legal, thought they were righteous and despised others. That was according to their natural person, what they had, a natural religion, a dead religion. It's a solemn thing to be, come into the house of God and only have a dead religion, friends. Is there any that are in this? You just legally think that you're doing right and you're living right and you're living in a way that is, you think, acceptable with God. But you know, God sees us, and if we are to be taught of God, we must be taught that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Oh, God will convict and convince us that we've got no righteousness that's accepted with God, not in and of ourselves. And so, such will not have a real plea. The Pharisees didn't have a real plea, Lord, remember me. Remember me, O Lord. They come to the Lord with criticism, with questions. Why this, why that? They were legal. And what a solemn thing it is, even when we come into considering those new form churches in Asia Minor, such as the Church of the Galatians. It was the legal Jews among them that wanted another gospel. And Paul was concerned that they had turned away from the gospel to another gospel, which is not another. It was, I believe, the influence of those legal Jews that caused this to be so. And the apostle even said, I'm so surprised that you're so soon removed from a gospel to another, which is not another. But friends, sinners can sigh, and none but they. How precious is the Saviour. Let me put the question, I need it put to me. Is Christ needed? Is he precious? Is he that one upon whom thy hopes of heaven depend? Is it that this, in this way you are in the secret of need to pray, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me in mercy. Oh, has God given you to plead for mercy? Do you go to your God, mercy through blood, I make my plea. Oh God, be merciful to me. Let us come closer, if the Lord help us. The blessedness of this. Blessed are they that keep judgment under the teaching of the Spirit. But come into the word, remember me, O Lord, in my need. God shows his people their need, shows his people what state they're in, convinces them of their sin, makes them to become mourners over their sins and after Christ. Now, are you one of these, friends? Young people, it is God bringing you to realise there is that one need you have above everything else. I mean, yes, of course, and we would ever remember to pray for you that the Lord will help you in your young ones, in your school life. And as you grow up and get older and get into further education, perhaps the Lord will help you in it and prosper you. It is important, and the Lord, in his providence for you, that he will provide for you, give you to be seeking to have a useful purpose in life. In my own family, we have much solemn exercise regarding the souls of our loved ones, and we're praying for them much and watching that the Lord would work in them. But I am very thankful on the natural side of their lives that they're all workers and have good purpose in life. That's a good thing, but what is much more important, in the highest of importance, is how do you stand? How do they stand? How do you stand regarding salvation? For we're all sinners, and we may live careful, right lives and prosper in this life, and that is God's goodness to us naturally. But oh, what a solemn thing. I think of it even of Her Majesty the Queen, as we pray for her and watch for her soul. You know, I do hope and pray, and you may do, especially as relating to the theme of the national anthem, what is heart's desire for her, we hope in sincerity and truth, is that she may truly be, by the experience of it, a gracious queen, be saved by grace, if it be God's will. It's not for us to judge. It's not for us to judge in a way of making our minds up of how things are and speaking of him, even with one and another. We must all appear, friends, whether we be a lowly person in the state of natural things, or whether we be high up or on a throne or in government and authority over many, we all have a soul. And what is most vital is, how stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. Is Jesus' blood thy only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? Oh, friends, who stands thy case? And who stands our case? And as I was speaking to the young people, yes, of course, we all desire you to have a useful purpose in life and to prosper and to get gain as is good for you. But, oh, you know, I think of the words in the prophet Isaiah, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him Return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. Oh, do you really? Is God making you feel your need spiritually? Your need of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that question I put earlier, is that question in you? Does God love me? You hear of the preaching of the truth, the truths of God's wonderful will and purposes, that he has a people, a chosen people, chosen for his praise, chosen from the ruins of the fall. God sovereignly chose his people, elected them before the world, set his love upon them in that way and elected them, and so appointed them unto glory, that they may be for God's eternal praise. Am I one of them? Am I, as we've said in the theme of it, not like we've sung, am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Now, is this most important concern with us, friends, with you and with me? I look back all those years, nearly 64 years ago now, when the Lord first brought me into concern. And it was a very strange experience in the early days of it, but it was a very wonderful experience as I look back to it, because God convicted and convinced me of my sin, brought me under his law and condemned me under his holy law. I had to cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I've had to cry many more times since. Are you having to cry to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? Oh, what a favour this is. Although, especially in the early days, it's a very hard thing to experience, a hard situation to be in. But God has a purpose in this way. This is his way of working. He will convince of sin, of righteousness and judgment to come. Is the Lord doing this, making you so feel your guilt? Well, if you feel your guilt, there is one wonderful thing that God enables his people to do. As he convicts and convinces them of their sin, surely he will give them to be one who will plead for mercy. There's nothing else you can do. As guilty sinner convicted by God, sentenced. Oh, what a solemn thing it is when sentence is passed. Like as the statement of the word, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, and we must all die. And we won't be annihilated by death. It will be that exchange of time for eternity. And in eternity, which is never ending, after death, the judgment. And how shall we stand in that great day? How shall we be? What we need to be is to be blessed to know and have the experience, have the seal of the Spirit, that we are saved by grace. That what we've been singing in those sacred lines of the hymn was for us. Jesus came and suffered the just for the unjust. We know he did, we believe he did. But was it for me? You want that question put out of question, friends. You want to know. Young ones, you will want, if God bring you to be concerned like this, and some of you he is bringing you to be concerned in this way and to pray and beg of God for mercy. He will bring you to know your sins are forgiven in this time. What a favour it is to know it. Oh, one said, if sin be pardoned, I'm secure. But until it is, we're not, friends. Until we know the favour of sin forgiven, the favour of believing in Jesus, that he's come to save us, that he's redeemed the church. But oh, was it for me? You want to know. And this is what is the most highest and most important point in the first words of the text, friends. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. The favour. The favour is redemption, forgiveness, it's salvation in and through the sacrifice of Christ. Oh, how we sing in the hymn, it's a lovely theme. I love to ponder it and sing it within my heart and soul. Salvation, oh my soul, rejoice. Salvation is of God. It is, friends. God's wonderful provision for the church to be saved. It's salvation in and through all what Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son, has done. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour. The favour of believing in Jesus Christ. The favour of receiving. Yes, it must be this, friends. Receiving the atonement. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, he comes to that point where he says this. How profound, how wonderful. We have received the atonement. Have you, friends? Have I? How do we receive the atonement? It's by faith. It's God blessing the sinner by granting faith for the sinner to believe and to lay hold of the hope in the gospel, to receive those things of God's wonderful favour through the sacrifice of Christ, through his holy blood shed. It's the remedy applied. Sins within us, sins within me, all about me. Sins within us, friends, all about us. But the remedy is without us. See it in the Saviour's blood. This is the remedy. This is what Christ has so brought in and provided by his sacrifice. He shed his vital blood. You know, all the Old Testament types and shadows. Of course, the people rightly kept the ceremonial law for the most part. We know there were sad times when they ceased to keep the Passover. But oh, we know for the most part that was the way of the people of Israel to keep the feasts, the sacred feasts, especially to offer the sacrifices. But we read of it in the Word that those sacrifices once offered could not make the comers thereunto perfect. Oh, we sing of it not all the blood of bulls and goats on Jewish altar slain could give the guilty conscience peace, nor wash away the stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away. Friends, I can look back. I can look back to the day when I believe I felt so blessedly, sacredly, that the Lord had blotted out all my sins. He, by faith, granted me the application of the precious blood of Christ. I know others have experienced it. I was looking in my diary, some records I keep, of a day when we was at Braintree Chapel. It was the last day when the dear deacon there, dear Mr. Bob Raynor, was there for his last time at chapel. And the Lord blessed that dear man with the blessed high favours of his love. And the Lord blessed that dear man that day. May God have all the glory. He received the atonement. He received even higher blessings. I believe he received the blessing of justification by faith. But oh, friends, have you? Do you know anything of these holy, sacred favours? Is this what you're praying for? What you're earnestly, is it earnestly you are seeking the Lord's face for these favours? You know, if we only live and profess a nominal profession of religion, we'll be lost at last. But if we are by the Spirit, by God's wonderful favour, being taught that none but Jesus, you know, Joseph Hart's hymn, we've sung that sacred part of it. Oh, what was his theme, his wonderful theme? None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Has God brought you to this, into this, into the reality of this? It's none but Jesus. It's Jesus Christ himself you need to know, that he has come for you, he's lived that perfect life he lived to keep the whole law and make it honourable on his people's behalf, and gone to Calvary to sacrifice himself, as we were saying. Not all the blood of bulls and goats could save the church. That was only type and shadow. But Christ sacrificed his sufferings. By his sufferings, death and merits. Oh, what he has done, what he has brought in for the church of God. This is what everyone needs to know their interest in. Interest in Christ and all what he's done, all what he is, all what he's doing now. Oh, friends, remember me with the favour. And so the favour is the favour of knowing Jesus Christ as our only hope, our Saviour, our Lord, our life and our all. The favour of knowing him and believing in him and living upon him. Oh, one of the hymn writers says, in him live, upon him cast our care. He saves from death, destruction and despair. Lord, remember me. Remember me, O Lord. Thinking of one of the times we preached from this word before. It was over in Oxfordshire at Uffington. And the hymns were so on the subject. Well, we feel they have been this morning. Because it's Jesus Christ, our brother's prayer in the vestry. Oh, that we should lift up a precious Christ. I feel so unable to, friends. But he is so precious to me. He's my all and in all. He's my only hope. I want no other. We seek no other blood nor name to cleanse our guilt and hide our shame. We seek what is all brought in and wrought out by Christ the Son. God imputes it. Faith puts on the righteousness of Christ. It's God's favour. He has a purpose to favour his people. His people, his holy will and purpose for them is that they shall be blessed. They shall be forgiven, pardoned to him on the Paschal Lamb. All God's people are forgiven through the virtue of Christ's blood. Opened is the gate of heaven. Peace is made twixt man and God. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. This word, it has the reality in it that God is doing it. He's doing it today. He's been doing it right back through the centuries of time. He's been doing this in souls. He's been doing his work in his people. Those he's set his love upon, those of his holy choice, those, everyone who have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, shall and must believe. God will bring them into the way of his saving grace. He will bring them to know and believe in Jesus Christ. So in your religion, friends and mine, we must have Christ. We haven't got these things of what we've been trying to name, of the way of salvation, the sacrifice of Christ in our religion. We're dead. We're hopeless. Yet we may not and do not know it. But if we are truly alive, quickened by God and kept alive by grace, we'll really need Christ. He will be made to us most precious, more precious far than life and all its comforts are. So we will be in such as Dave and Kay's friends, and we'll have a prayer, and this will be our prayer. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. And as it is stated here, the desire and the need, visit me with thy salvation. Coming into the house of God today, do you feel you need a visit? Need the Lord to visit you? You know, people, when they're poorly, and it's right, we should carefully visit the afflicting. And we know there's the exhortation in the word, visiting the widows and so on, and the affliction and so on. When David told me yesterday that they got home from going to the funeral, it confirmed what I'd been thinking. I thought, I believe some will go from Swaversea to represent Swaversea. The funeral in the West Country is a long way to go, and I would have liked to went, but it seemed too much to one in our old age. But you know, visiting, and what you need is a visit. And oh, wonderful it is if you feel your need of a visit of your best beloved. Visit then this soul of mine. You need this. Have you been brought to really feel your need of God giving you, granting you a love visit, so that you know he loves you, so that you are confirmed in this, does God love me? A love visit. When the Spirit testifies of Christ, when the Spirit is working in you to give you, it may be, to hear and have the word applied. You may have a glimpse of him by faith. Oh, he grants you a visit. Wonderful if you by faith see his face, hear his voice, that voice of love and mercy that sounds aloud from Calvary. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. When the Lord by the Spirit reveals a precious Christ, when you see him, oh, well, we know, one put it, I saw one hanging on a tree. You know how we've sung regarding the crucifixion of Christ, and oh, what we have done, how our sins have pierced him. Oh, friends, to know and feel the favour of such a visit, such a sight, blessed sight, lovely form. A sinful worm like me, I creep beside him like a worm, see him bleed for me. That is the blessed, holy, sacred visit, I believe, when the Lord visits a soul. Blesses them to know and believe in Jesus, and to view him as their murdered martyr, to view him as their dear, beloved Saviour. Oh, best beloved, visit. Visit me with thy salvation. Give me the assurance of it, that it was for me. The Lord, my Saviour, bled and died. Oh, he comes with a blessed visit to thy poor soul. He breaks in. Oh, he speaks. But let me put it in a question. He does speak. Does he speak to thee? Does he speak to thee, to some here? You have been blessed. Does he speak to thee like this? Jesus speaks and speaks to thee. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Because surely, if he loves his people, they will love him when they're being taught by the Spirit and God going on to work, being gracious in his people. You brought to know the Saviour and to love him. To love him first, and you young ones, that may this help you. You'll be brought to love him in the want of him. And it's a wonderful thing further to know and love him in the favour believing in him and receiving him by faith, as God gives you the enabling graces to receive him. Like we've said of Paul the Apostle writing to the Romans, receive the atonement by faith. Believe in him. Visit me with thy salvation. And of course, we know, of course, and the psalmist knew it, every one of God's people know it, we're all very changeable. We're all prone to wander. And through the solemn, sad things of our changes, our wandering, our backsliding, the Lord may hide his face, but he does it in love and mercy. Does it to make his people solemnly aware of his displeasure and their sad requitals of his love, their neglectfulness, their shortcoming in praising their God. Oh, he calls us to praise him, to follow him. He calls us to obey him. But we are still sadly left often to the ways of our old carnal nature. Unconcern, neglectfulness, lukewarmness, the solemn state that we're so much prone to be in. But oh, when he has hid his face, withdrawn for a while, when we have this sadness of not having the presence of our friend, feelingly so, surely that will bring out in God's time, under God's teaching, a feeling of loss. Oh, if we're in darkness, if we're in coldness, or most awfully, solemnly, lukewarmness, oh, I pray we believe God will. He will never lose one of his people. He will cause them to be concerned about their sad, bad state and condition. And this will bring out, I believe, in the feeling, sense of the sadness of it, the need to cry, visit me with thy salvation. Well, we have to leave it now this morning, friends. May the Lord keep us in the interval in the afternoon hour and come up with us this evening. Oh, I pray that something of my poor preaching may have been blessed to some of you. The Lord may be glorified, which we hope to come to this evening. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. Let us ponder this sixth verse, friends, as we may be thinking of the things in the whole of the subject. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. This will bring out, I believe, this. God's people will acknowledge nothing but thy blood, O Jesus. That's where our only hope is. His shed blood, his sufferings, his death and marriage. May we know him. Oh, may we know and love him. And so be blessed to follow him and to prove his wonderful salvation from day to day. May the Lord bless his word. Amen.
God willing, Sunday school will be at Bethany this afternoon. Mr. John Rosier will preach on Tuesday evening, if the Lord will. And next Lord's Day, there'll be a reading service in the morning. Mr. Adrian Pickett will preach in the evening. Let us close with hymn 688. Ye that pass by, behold the man of griefs, condemned for you, the Lamb of God for sinners slain, weeping to Calvary pursue. Hymn 688.
Anything that thy holy and pure eyes have seen amiss, You own and bless thy word, Lord. Be with us in the interval and come up with us again this evening, Lord. Grant us strength and help, thy presence then, we beg thee. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and evermore. Amen.